makers of Chase and Sanborn Coffee, the superb blend you know is fresh, present the Chase and Sanborn Hour. And your host, Don Amici.
This is Don Amici, extending a very warm welcome from all our regulars, Edgar Bergen and Charlie McCarthy, Dorothy L'Amour, and Robert Armbruster and the Chase and Sanborn Orchestra. Today is Happy Reunion Day for, in addition to our special guests of the evening, vivacious Joan Blondell and garrulous Vera Vague, we have the very definite pleasure of welcoming back that great pal and colleague of ours, Nelson Eddy.
Ooh.
Nelson Eddy.
Oh. What's his name?
Well, strangely enough, Nelson Eddy's name is Nelson Eddy.
Oh. What does he do?
Well, you figure it out, Charlie, while I tell everyone that we hope they will all enjoy our show and that throughout the week they'll remain our friends as well as friends of Chase and Sanborn.
Friends of who?
Chase and Sanborn.
What do they do?
You'll find out, McCarthy, if you don't keep quiet. And this is your opportunity to hear what Nelson Eddy does. He offers excellent evidence as he sings that stirring song, Where Else But Here, from his recent picture, Let Freedom Ring. Ring it out, Nelson.
Where is the home of the brave? Where else but here?
You can say what you want, you can do what you want, it's within your every right. You can sleep where you want, you can walk where you want, you can turn day into night. You can take just as well as you give, with no fear in your heart, you can live.
Where?
Here. Where else but here? Are you the master of your own little world? Where else but here do hearts beat faster? When the flag is unfurled, for your peace and security, you should stand up and cheer. Where can you live, laugh and love? Where else but here? You can count on friends when you need them. Here you learn the meaning of freedom, whether you're weak or whether you're strong. You can side with a right or wrong. You can walk with your head up high. You're a hero now, not when you die. For your peace and security, you should stand up and cheer. And tell me, say, can you see? Where else but here? You can eat what you want.
We can eat what we want.
You can come and you can go. You can drink what you want.
We can drink what we want.
You can watch your children grow. You can vote, you can think, you can scheme. You can sing, you can smile, you can dream. Work!
Hey!
You should stand up and cheer.
Hooray!
Where is the home of the brave? Where else?
Nelson Eddy visited Cuba a few months ago. He kept his eyes open for native beauty and his ears open for native music. As a result, Nelson sings us one of his discoveries, a song in the true Cuban spirit. It's called Just Why I Love You. Por eso te quiero.
Te quiero por tu cara de rosa. Te quiero por tus ojos divinos. Te quiero porque sé que lloraste en mis días de ausencia. De triste soledad. Te quiero porque eres más que santa. Te quiero porque eres mi alegría.
Was excellent. Now, that really was excellent. Oh, that's very good, Mr. Bergen, what did you say his name was?
Eddie.
Oh.
Nelson Eddie, of course.
Oh, yes, of course, of course. Where have you been, stranger?
Well, I've been out on the road.
Oh, on the road, huh? Selling?
Of course not.
Road gang? Charlie.
No, God. Nelson's been on a concert tour of the country.
Oh, I see.
You know, one night stands?
Uh-huh.
A night here and a night there?
Oh, yes, I know that, too. One night here, one night there. There, a night here, a night here, and there, a night, night. Nelson Eddy had a tour. E-I-E-I-O.
That's very, very nice singing, Charlie. You remember me now, don't you?
Well, my mind is a little hazy. You know, just a little hazy.
Well, don't you remember I promised to bring you a present when I got back?
Oh, yes, yes. My mind is clearing up now. Clearing up.
And remember you ran a lot of errands for me?
Yeah, I sure did, didn't I? Yeah, that's right, yeah. My mind is clearing up now, yeah.
And remember just before I left, I loaned you $2?
Yeah. Here comes that haze again.
Do you mean to say you don't remember borrowing $2 from me?
I mean to say I can't afford to remember. But, Miss Jady, didn't you say something about bringing me back a present, you know?
Well, I don't remember. My mind is getting hazy.
Oh, I see. I forgot that works two ways. I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll compromise, see? If you give me the present, I'll forget all about the $2.
Well, you don't deserve it. No. But here's your present.
Oh, for me? Oh, Miss Eddie, you shouldn't have done that.
Do you like it, Charlie?
Yeah, do I like it? Why, it's beautiful. Gee, I shall treasure this all my life. What is it?
Why, it's an antique.
Oh.
An English mug with a lid on it.
Oh. I thought they always wore derbies. Well, I still say, what is it?
It's pewter.
Yeah. Well, I thought it, but I didn't want to say it.
Well, That's a very interesting piece there, Nelson. I'd like to have that for my collection.
I tell you what I'll do, Mr. Bergen. I'll swap it even up for your hunting knife.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. You know, I'm going on a camping trip tomorrow.
Oh, I see. So that's why you're dressed in your Boy Scout uniform.
Yeah.
Is that a Scout uniform?
Yeah.
It doesn't look very neat.
Yeah, well, falling in a sewer didn't help it any.
Charlie, why don't you stand up straight like a Boy Scout?
Yeah.
You know, at attention.
Well, I am standing at attention. It's the suit that's at ease.
Oh, I see. Well, so you're off on a hiking trip.
Yes, I am, Mr. Bergen. Yeah. Off I go. With a song in my heart, adventure in my soul, and blister on my heel. Yeah. Oh, that's life. That's life.
Well, it certainly is, Charlie. You know, I was a Boy Scout once.
You were?
Yes, and I used to make camping trips, too.
Is that so?
Yes.
Well, in those days, weren't you afraid of Indians?
No.
From the looks of things, I think they got you, huh? Oh. Please, now, please. Be sensitive.
All right. I found the Boy Scout teachings valuable all through life.
Uh-huh.
Be prepared.
Yeah.
Do a good deed daily.
Yeah, that's right.
Be thrifty.
Yeah, you certainly lean on that kind of head.
Why, and I could tell you the names of the trees by the leaves.
Yeah? Well, I'm going up in a pine forest.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, so it's needless. Yeah,
I see. Well, can you tell me the kind of a pine? What kind of a pine has the longest needles?
The porcupine.
No, no, all right. Well, that's not important.
I thought it was pretty good. I still like it.
But you have studied life-saving, haven't you, Charlie?
Oh, certainly, certainly.
Yes. Now, what's the first thing you do when you see a person drowning?
Yell for help.
No, 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 no.
That's right.
No, no. But suppose there is no help around.
No help around?
No, you're the only one there.
Boy, am I lonesome. Why pick on me?
Well, now, that doesn't matter. Now, you're a Boy Scout.
Uh-huh.
Now, what does the book say to do?
The book?
Yes.
Well, the thing to do is to row out there in the flat-bottom boat.
Yes, that's right. That's right. Now, suppose the person is already underwater.
Already underwater, huh?
Yes.
Row faster?
No, no, no.
Well, then you row out in a glass-bottom boat.
No, no. Well, all I can say is a person would be in a fine fix if they were drowning and counted on you for help.
You can say that again.
Now, Charlie, this man is drowning.
Uh-huh.
Now, what's the first thing you're going to do for him when you get him out of water?
Get the water out of him.
Yes, I know. But how?
Well, we resort to artificial respiration.
No, no.
Perspiration, no. Vaccination?
No, of course not.
Well, by golly, I'm warm.
No, you're not.
Now, what is it? It's artificial.
Yes, that's right.
Indignation.
No, no. Now, what are you going to do for this fellow?
Oh, it's too late. The guy got up and walked home.
Oh, he did. Well, fine thing.
Yeah. Well, anyhow, Mr. Bergen, there ain't any water where we're going. We're going to climb the mountains.
Oh, I see.
Up in a mountain.
Yeah. Now, you're taking the pup tent with you?
No, I'm leaving the dog home.
Oh, I see. Well, now, where are you going to sleep?
Sleep?
Yes.
Oh, we're going to sleep right under the stars.
Oh, I see.
Yes, sir. Fresh air.
Yes.
Caught cold already.
Well, now, I think that's going to be very fine.
Yes, I think I'll like it.
You like sleeping in the open, don't you?
Yes, it's well ventilated.
Yes, you might.
The only thing is my nose gets cold, see, so I have to sleep by my stomach.
Oh, I see.
Sort of southern exposure.
Yes, I understand. Yeah. Well, are you all set for your trip, Charlie?
Yes, sirree. I got all my equipment and hiking outfit and my axe and first aid kit and fishing pole, extra uniform, 9 blankets, a comforter, and an inner spring mattress. And a fouling piece.
My, my. Sounds like a lot of equipment.
Yes, it is.
How long are you going to be away, Charlie?
Oh, just overnight.
Oh, I see.
Memories are lovely possessions,
But they're even more so when Dorothy L'Amour sings about them. Dottie lets us in on a few of her daydreams as she sings a new tune which seems to be fast zooming up to the front of the popularity parade. I'll Remember.
The dream of my heart came true. I'll remember how we stood in the moon glow, so young and free, so glad to be alone. I'll remember got to light and the sunrise that we missed when we kissed goodnight. All those moments spent in paradise for two, I'll remember. A dream came true. I'll remember the scene as we stood in the moon glow, so young and so free, so glad we could be alone. I'll remember cigarettes we forgot light and the sunrise that we missed when we kissed goodnight. All these moments spent in paradise for two. Precious moment, every hour of joy we spent, I'll remember.
Well, Nelson, how does it feel to be home again?
Feels great, Don. All the old, familiar faces.
You had to get that old in there, I suppose, huh?
Oh, no, I'll take it back. You haven't aged much.
Thanks.
But all the faces are familiar. You'll grant me that, I hope. Dorothy and Edgar and Charlie, Bobby and you.
Yeah,
and...
there's the same bunch around here, Nelson, but you don't see all of us. We've added quite a few new people to the show.
Well, they must be invisible men. I don't see them.
Oh, no, they're not here. They're all over the country. Ted Kimball's in Salt Lake City. Jim Matthews is in San Francisco. Fred Weingarth is in the Southwest.
Then there's Bill Spargo.
Well, wait a minute, Don. I'm glad to meet all these far-flung gentlemen, but I thought the Chase and Sanborn Hour was a Hollywood show.
Well, about 58 minutes of it is Hollywood, Nelson. But the other 2 minutes are devoted to special local news from Chase and Sanborn in each locality. And now is the time when all these members of our show talk to their neighbors, just like this.
Welcome back, Nelson Eddy, and thank you, Don. This is Bill Spargrove with news about the Chase and Sanborn dated coffee that comes in the new silver package. Now, some of you will see that new silver package tomorrow morning for the very first time. It's just come to your town. But a few cities have had it long enough to try it out. And wherever it goes on sale, people change to it just as fast as they can. Because it brings you coffee that's the last word in freshness and delicious flavor. It's bound to be fresh. It's roasted right in your own section and rushed to your grocer in our fast trucks. And the date it arrives, freshly roasted, is marked on every silver package. And so you know your coffee is fine and fresh and full of flavor. And that's what you want, freshly roasted coffee. And freshness is important because stale coffee can go bad, just like milk or eggs. And when it does, there's no fun drinking it. But our dating system protects you from all that. You're sure of freshness and fine flavor with Chase and Sanborn dated coffee. Try it in the wonderful new silver package. There's no increase in price. Use it for hot coffee or for iced coffee. Either way, I think you and your family are going to agree that it's just about the finest tasting coffee in the world.
Mighty charming and versatile young actress is Joan Blondell, our guest this evening. Extremely capable in straight dramatic roles, Miss Blondell is also a comedienne of rare ability. As witness, her latest grand bit of trooping in the very enjoyable Columbia vehicle, Good Girls Go to Paris. It is in the role of comedienne that Miss Blondell appears tonight as she plays the part of Lucy, the temperamental cinema favorite in Searle Kramer's original story, Stardust.
The scene of our play is the Empire Suite of a large hotel in Hollywood, California. The time is 1 o'clock in the afternoon. Lucille Manton, movie star, is awaiting a visit from her agent, Jerry Williams. There's a knock at the door.
Come in.
Hello, Toots.
Don't call me Toots.
Just you say, Toots.
Did you hear me? I said don't call me Toots.
Oh, relax, relax, baby. You're among friends. So what are you doing up at 1 o'clock in the afternoon? You got insomnia?
No. I often get up at 1 o'clock in the afternoon.
Yeah? Well, what's on your mind? What's important to have me rush up here to the Royal Suite at an hour like this?
Is it too much to ask my agent, the man that takes 10% of everything I earn, to call on me?
No, of course not, honey. What's bothering you?
That new contract.
Ah, that's just what I thought. Here it is, baby, right in my pocket, ready to sign. And some contract. $10,000 a week for 2 years straight. No options. Honey, Jack Gainsborough's immortal soul is wrapped up in this piece of paper here.
$10,000 a week?
For 2 years.
Ah, that's pretty good.
Yeah, from Jack Gainsborough, it's perfect. He doesn't hand out $10,000 a week contracts like they were cigar coupons. Yesterday afternoon, we were huddled from 2 until 6.
Watching the horses.
Horses, nothing. We were talking about you. Gainsborough wanted to give you $7,500 a week for 1 year with options on the next four.
Oh, he did he?
Yeah, but I laughed right in his face. Jack, I said Lucille Manton is the biggest star in pictures today. She wouldn't walk on the lot for $7,500 a week.
Let's see the contract.
Yeah, here it is, honey. Put your Henrietta Hancock right there under mine. That'll make it legal.
Oh, it is a nice contract, isn't it?
They don't make them any nicer, baby. Not sign right here.
I'm not signing.
Right here we... You're not what?
I'm not signing the contract. Put it back in your pocket or tear it up.
Tear it up?
You heard me. Tear it up.
What's the matter with you?
Nothing.
Have you gone crazy?
I don't think so.
Well, then what? Isn't $10,000 a week enough?
Plenty.
2 years straight without options.
Very nice.
Then what's the matter with this contract?
There's nothing wrong with the contract. It's me. I'm quitting. I'm through. Finished. I'm not going to act anymore.
You're not... Oh, quick, quick.
There, now, you'd better sit down.
Yeah, that's better.
Now, shall I go on?
Yeah, go on.
To get right to the point, I decided to retire. I always told myself that when I got to the top, I'd be ready to quit. Well, I've been there a couple of years now, long enough. It's time to cash in the chips. The game's over.
Oh, no. No!
Yes, yes. I've made plenty of money. All I need for the rest of my life, so I'm quitting.
Yeah, but then what are you going to do? You can't just walk out into empty space.
I'm going to get married.
You go... married?
Yes. Yes, married. You know, church, organ music, flowers. You must have heard of it.
Oh, no, no, it's not true. I'm going to wake up and find it's a horrible nightmare. Who are you going to marry?
Harold.
Harold?
Yes, Harold Peterson, my leading man.
Harold for a minute I thought you were serious.
Oh, I am serious.
You mean you're actually going to marry that sawed-off little shrimp?
He's not a sawed-off shrimp.
Why? I can't believe...
You don't have to. But there it is. Harold and I are going to get married, settle down, and raise baby. What was that? What's the matter with you?
My heart's gone back on me.
Does it upset you that much?
Upset me? Upset me? Do you know what you've done?
Nothing terrible. Refuse to sign a contract.
Look. Look, Lucille, look. You can't do this to me.
Can't I?
No. We've been pals too long, you and I. I won't let you.
You won't let me? Do you think you are?
Well, I'm your friend, your counselor, your guide.
My agent, you mean? All you can think of right now is your 10% of $10,000 taking a powder forever.
So help me. What kind of a man would I be to think of money at a crisis like this?
You figured the moment I signed that contract, you could sit back and take it easy with a $1,000 check coming in each week for the next 2 years. That's what's hurting you.
On my honor.
Honor? Oh. Now maybe you'll have to go to work instead of living off me like
a
parasite.
Oh, so that's what I am, a parasite, huh?
Yes.
I, who took you in when you were nothing, a nobody, and made you the greatest motion picture star in the world.
You made me a star.
Yes, I did. Oh. I took you, a complete non-entity. First I got your bit parts, then larger parts, then leads, building you, fighting tooth and nail for you, casting aside my other clients.
I walked out on you, you mean?
And now you turn and rend your benefactor an ingrate, a Benedict Arnold in skirts.
That... act isn't going to do you any good.
Look, darling, baby, look. Let me appeal to your better judgment. Let me appeal to your reason. You know what you're throwing away?
Certainly.
Fame, fortune, the adulation of the masses.
Exactly.
Lucille, darling, you couldn't give that up even if you wanted to. You're going to sign that contract.
I am not.
Oh, Lucille.
Stop those crocodile tears and go out and get yourself some new clients. You've lived off me long enough. Come in.
Oh, darling. Have you heard the news?
Oh, Harold,
look at him. The low life, the two-faced snake in the grass. Did you... Get out of here, you!
I beg your
pardon. Get out of here! Lucille.
You better leave, Harold, dear, for a few minutes. We're discussing business.
Lucille, the man's mad.
Hey, are you good?
Harold, go, please. Come back in a couple of minutes, will you? We'll be through then.
Get out!
I'm going.
There, my dear woman, goes the father of your children, cringing like a peasant.
No wonder. You're acting like a wild man. Now take that contract and get out of here.
Okay. I'm going.
Well, go.
I won't be back.
Good.
A personal contract is also terminated.
Splendid.
From now on, my life is my own.
Your very own.
Well, this is goodbye.
Goodbye. Well, what are you waiting for?
I just thought I'd thank you.
Thank me? For what?
Before I go, I just want to say I'm really glad you're not going to sign that contract.
Oh, well, that makes us both happy.
You're not signing up again lets me out of a lot of work and responsibility.
Of course.
Now I can take that trip I've been planning all these years.
Ah, nice for you.
Yes, thought I'd turn it into a honeymoon.
What?
I said I thought I'd turn the trip into a honeymoon.
Honeymoon?
Yeah, honeymoon, you know, one of those things you go on after you're married.
What are you talking about?
Well, didn't you know?
Know what?
About me, us.
Who's us?
Well, me and Lorna Montgomery.
Lorna Montgomery?
Well, we've been engaged for months, secretly.
Lorna Montgomery.
The actress.
The actress that saddle fakes head.
Hey, hey, now
the
just
last
a minute.
She played in a western, a horse stole the picture.
You listen, you're talking about the woman I love, the woman I intend to make my wife.
Jerry, you can't marry her. You'd never be happy. She'd make you miserable. Jerry, you can't do it. I won't let you.
You won't let me. Well, who do you think you are?
Well, well, don't you realize what you're doing?
Hey, listen, I don't need any advice from you. I'm old enough to make my own mistakes.
I'm not going to let you throw yourself away on a woman who hasn't got enough talent to play the lead in the cartoon.
You've got nothing to say about
it. Oh, haven't I?
Hey, what are you doing there?
Give me that.
Hey, look out. Look out. You'll tear it.
Jimmy.
Let me handle it.
Get away. There. I've signed the contract. Now, let's see you go on a honeymoon with that Lorna Montgomery.
Well, now you've done it.
I think so.
I'm stuck here for another couple of years
exactly.
now.
Exactly.
Couldn't think of getting married.
No.
Impossible.
Fine.
Ooh, if Lorne ever finds out.
Ah, let her find out. I'm just itching for an opportunity to pull that false hair out of her head.
Come in now, dear?
Oh, yes, Harold, come in.
Oh, he's come down.
Hello, Runt.
What? Hello. Married. See for yourself. Headlines, pictures, everything.
So,
listen, honey.
A honeymoon at
baby,
Panama,
baby, don't get excited.
Romance of the year.
Put down that vase, baby.
Liar,
look
cheat,
out, look out. Please, baby.
Blood,
don't throw that.
Hold me. 2 more years.
Please, baby, control
I'm
yourself. Don't, honey. No.
You hit him.
It's your fault. You ducked.
He's out cold.
Yes.
When he comes to, he probably won't marry you. Blow on the head like that, might not even remember you.
You think not?
I think not.
Oh, well.
Oh, well, what?
I don't think I wanted to marry him anyway.
Didn't you, baby?
No. No, I didn't.
Say, look, what are you doing this afternoon, honey?
I had a date with Harold.
I'd like to go to the races.
Love to.
Come on, go change your clothes.
I'm changing. Oh, darling.
Yeah, baby.
Phone for some lunch, will you? I'm starved, only be careful.
Careful, hon?
Yes, don't step on Harold. He looks so peaceful.
This is Don Amici and the Chase and Sanborn Hour continues. American music has been infinitely enriched by the melodic contributions made to it by the late Victor Herbert. Nelson Eddy sings his very beautiful song, I'm Falling in Love. Nelson?
I've a very strange feeling I ne'er felt before. 'Tis a kind of a grind of depression. My heart's acting strangely, it feels rather sore. At least it gives me that impression. My pulses leap madly without any cause. Believe me, I'm telling you truly. I'm gay without cause. Then sad without cause, my spirits are truly unruly. Oh, love someone and marry. If someone would only love me.
Traveler and vivid lecturer drops in for a friendly call, there's little to be done but cross your fingers and hope for the best. And Vera is with us this evening, up in the air and flying high. So greetings and salutations, Vera Vay.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Mr. Major. I'm so happy to be with you this evening. It gives me such great pleasure to talk to you. It's really wonderful.
Well, we're very happy to have you, Miss Vague, and we want you to go right ahead with your lecture.
Oh, well, thank you. Bless your heart. Now, tonight I thought I'd discuss the educational advantages of travel and the titillating experience of general vagabondage. It's a fascinating subject, don't you think? It's a wanderlusty.
Yeah, well, that's just the words I would have used.
Oh, well, it's a small world, isn't it? Now let's plunge right into our subject here. You know, Mr. Amici, I'm quite a traveler myself. I spent a good many months in England, a very interesting and cultural spot. Yeah. Now, as we all know, England is located... well, it's somewhere between Ireland and the British Isles. It's full of inhabitants. That is, quite a number of people live there. Where am I?
Well, as I remembered, you were discussing the English.
Oh, I was. Oh, yes. Well, I don't see why I shouldn't discuss the English. I feel that England and America have a great deal in common, especially musically. I believe that's due to the alliance of the Anglo-Saxophone peoples.
Undoubtedly.
Yes. Now, as you know, England is full of interesting edifices, churches, and art galleries. I remember while there, I went to see, we saw some beautiful old, well, it's very foggy in England. You really can't see a thing. You've been over there, haven't you, Mr. Amici?
Oh, yes, yes. I have a great many friends in England. In fact, I got a letter from there this morning.
Oh, you did? Well, what did it say?
Why? What do you want to know for?
What do I want to know for? You're the most inquisitive person.
I'm inquisitive. No, Miss Begg, this letter was from a young lady in England. She wrote for financial advice. It seems she just lost 2,000 pounds.
Oh, my, she was heavy, wasn't she? yes, I see what you mean, yes.
Miss Begg, you're sure you went to England, aren't you? I mean, you haven't told us anything very concrete as yet.
Well, certainly I went to England, young man. I even attended Oxford while I was there. The Oxford men were so interesting. I mean, the Oxford courses were so interesting. In fact, I spent 3 years there learning pursuing. Pursuing learning. Dear. Where am I? What's trumps?
beg, you don't mind if I interrupt, do you?
Interrupt? No, no. Go right ahead, Mr. B.J. Butt right in.
Well, since you don't remember anything about it, I think you might just skip England and tell us about some other country you visited, if you don't mind my suggestion.
Certainly not. I value your suggestion.
Oh, thanks.
No one in the world could have a higher opinion of you than I do, Mr. M.H.J.
Oh, why, thank you.
Yes, and I don't think you're so hot. Guess that'll bring you down a keg. No more quarreling, Mr. M.H.J. I wish I had a pipe of peace.
Wish I had a piece of pipe.
Bless your heart.
Can you tell us something interesting about Switzerland? Or was it foggy there, too?
Switzerland, yes, I went there, but I didn't care much for it. Heavens, it's nothing but a lot of mountains.
I suppose you spent some time at Baden-Baden while you were over there.
Oh, Baden-Baden, oh, that resort.
Yes.
Well, I looked for it, but I couldn't find it. It got to be a regular game.
A game?
Yes. Baden-Baden, who's got the Baden? But truly, of all the countries in the world, I think Egypt is the most inspiring. I remember I used to go to the banks of the Nile and sit there for hours on end. For hours on end. Of all the countries in the world, I think Egypt is the most inspiring. It's so inspiring.
Pardon me, Miss Vague, but you're repeating yourself.
What's that, young man?
I say you're repeating yourself.
Well, so are you. Oh, you just leave me alone. I know what I'm doing. Now, the Egyptian civilization is very old. It dates way back to, way before the automobile and whatnot.
Yeah, especially the whatnots.
Yeah. No, now please, Mr. Amici.
Of course, while in Egypt, you went up the Nile, didn't you?
Oh, yes, all the way up. And this is a lovely view from the top.
Yeah. Well, you know, I went to Egypt a few years ago myself, Miss Vague, and I visited the pyramids.
Yeah.
They were literally covered with hieroglyphics.
Oh! Weren't you afraid they'd hop on you? Oh, yes. I see what you mean. No, I really was so impressed with Egypt that after I visited the Sphinx, I just sat right down and wrote a lovely poem about it. But you can't hear it, Mr. Amici.
That's very kind of you, Miss Vague, but I'm afraid
we have... Oh, good. I knew you'd like it. And you did. No one knows just what she thinks. Oh, solemn image of the Sphinx. 'Tis to Egypt we must give our thanks for that early wonder named the... Sphinx. With myrrh and incense, burning punks, we sit before the lovely... Sphinx.
Some people prefer the soft, dreamy kind of music, and I'm no exception. But more often you'll find me a fall guy for the vim, verve, and vitality kind. To be more specific, embraceable you, and I got rhythm. Robert, let's start verving.
Embrace me, my sweet embraceable you. Embrace me, you irreplaceable you. Just one look at you, my heart grew tips in me. You and you alone bring out the tips in me. I love all the many charms about you. Above all, I want my arms about you. Don't be a naughty baby. Come to Papa too. My sweet embraceable.
I got music. I got my gal who could ask for anything more. I got Daisy in green pastures. I got my gal who could ask for anything more. Old man Trouble, I don't mind him. You won't find him round my door. I got Starlight, I got Sweet Dreams. I got my gal who could ask for anything more. Who could ask for anything more? Naughty baby, come to Papa, come to Papa Doo, my sweet embraceable you.
Ladies and gentlemen, inspired by the Blondell Amici dramatic opus Stardust, and at the special request of nobody special, I present my own original one-act play. It's a comedy farce. Bergen, well, I'll watch that.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry.
It's a comedy farce. full of fierce comedy. Bannon, tell him about it.
This play employs a cast of thousands and includes Joan Blondell, Dorothy L'Amour, Nelson Eddy, Don Amici.
12 white horses, 14 trunks of wardrobe.
Yes, three people will positively appear.
We hope.
Since playwright McCarthy sets this scene in a theatrical booking office, he's given his play the working title of Fishing Prohibited or No Casting Today. Curtain.
Hello, Charlie McCarthy Theatrical Agency Incorporated. Also used cars. Good morning. Wrong number. Goodbye.
Hi, Dizzy.
Hello, boss. Say, there's a lot of people in the waiting room.
What are they doing down there?
Waiting.
Well, that's as it should be. Show them up one at a time.
Hey, you. Come in.
Hey, you. That's fine talk.
Courtesy is our middle name.
Yeah, but we never use it.
I'd like to see 10% McCarthy, the agent.
Yes?
Are you the gentleman?
No, I'm the agent. What do you do?
I'm a dancer. Maybe you caught my act at the country club. I have talent.
Yeah.
I'll go far.
Yeah. I hope you do. And the farther, the better.
Ain't you got an opening for me?
Yes, we have. The first door to the lamp. I saw your act, sister.
Didn't you like it? Maybe you caught me at a disadvantage.
I sure did. It sure was a disadvantage, all right. The curtain was up.
I will admit that the opening was a little slow, but didn't you think the ending was awful good?
Well, it was a relief, yeah.
Anyhow, dancing really isn't my specialty.
Well, that's evident.
I'm really a Shakespearean actress.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. To be or not to be. What a question.
What an actress. Now get out of here, will you?
Hello, Charlie McCarthy Theatrical Agency Incorporated, also real estate and insurance. Good morning. Wrong number. Goodbye.
Gee, we sure don't get a lot of phone calls around here, don't we? Who's next?
I am next. Sir Nelson Booth Funetti, the great Shakespearean tragedian.
You've done Shakespeare?
Done it. I live it. I am it.
You ham it is right. Have you ever played Henry VIII?
No, but I played a benefit August the 5th.
Well, that's near enough.
Is there any work for a great artiste today?
Well, there's only one position open, and it ain't too good.
What does it call for?
Well, all you have to do, really, is jump off the top of a 3-story burning building.
Well, I thought my friend Joseph York was cast in that part.
Yes, and he's still in a cast, but not in the part.
What do you mean?
He missed the net, as it were.
I don't think that job is all that it's cracked up to be.
No, but York is.
Alas, poor York. I knew him well. To be or not to be. That is the question.
To jump or not to jump, that is the question.
Gadzooks. Yep. To think that I am asked to jump off a 3-story burning building. Sir, that is an outrageous insult.
Well, it pays $15.
I'll take it.
Oh.
I'll jump with a spear. Sir, farewell.
Scram, ham. Take it on the lamb. Door slam. Thank you. Busy around here.
Hello, McCarthy Theatrical Agency Incorporated and Swap Shop, also used cars, real estate, and insurance. Good morning. Wrong number, goodbye.
Hey, if anybody else calls, you might mention that I got a dog I'd like to sell.
Hello, boss. This is the cast-off office.
You're in the right place, buddy.
What do you got today?
I got a dog for sale.
No. You got a partner for me?
Now, don't tell me you're a Shakespearean actor, too.
Oh, Gad the Zookies and Odds the Goblins, sure I am. Well, to be or have you been, why am I asking?
I think you got something there.
Oh, a rose by any other name would smell.
And so do you. Goodbye.
Hello, this is the McCarthy Theatrical Agency Incorporated, etc. What? What? Oh, my goodness.
Don't tell me they got the right number.
Yes, they did, boss.
Who is it, Izzy?
Universal Studios. There's an extra job there today. $5.50 and $1.
Quiet, you buzzards, quiet. Did you say $5.50 and lunch? That's for me. Sorry, folks, no casting today.
Robert Tom Brewster and the Chase and Sanborn Orchestra play their arrangement of Mussorgsky's Hopak.
Tell me a little more about these invisible men that give the news around the country. Did they join the show while I was away?
Most of them. We have 15 now.
Nice fellows, are they?
Oh, yes. I met Bill Spargrove when I was in New York. He's with the Rudy Valley Hour Thursdays and on our show Sundays.
Well, you know any of these gentlemen, Don?
Oh, sure. I certainly do. I can vouch for Jim Bannon 100%. And my friends in Chicago say there's nobody like John Holtman.
Everybody likes Bill Stuhler here in Hollywood.
I hope these new people don't mind being talked about.
Well, I'll give you an idea how it feels. Dorothy, speaking of new people, what do you think of Nelson Eddy?
Hasn't changed a bit.
Now, does that answer your question, Nelson?
Well, yes and no. About these 15 fellows.
Well, they're in 15 different sections. And near every one of these sections, Chase and Sanborn has a coffee roasting oven. So to give each locality its own news about the coffee roasted and packed near home, we have men waiting right on the spot. Gentlemen, speak for yourselves.
Glad to, Don, because the news around here is thrilling and worthwhile. It's about the Chase and Sanborn dated coffee that comes in the new silver package. It's going like wildfire every place it appears. Everybody's talking about it. One of the finest blends of coffee in the world. That new silver package will be on your grocer's shelves tomorrow. Look for it. Take it home and try it. Inside that new silver package is a full pound of especially fine coffee, freshly roasted and rushed to your grocer in our fast trucks. The date he gets it is right there on every silver package. You can buy it with the utmost assurance, because you're safe from stale coffee. Coffee can spoil, you know, just like milk or eggs. And then it may taste rancid or bitter. And when you're all set for a good cup of fresh coffee and get stale coffee instead, it's a terrible letdown. And that's why it's so much better to get coffee you know is freshly roasted. Chase and Sanborn dated coffee in the new silver package. Remember, you don't pay a penny extra for all its extra goodness. So try it tomorrow. It's richer and it's fresher, so naturally, it makes better hot coffee and, of course, better iced coffee, too.
Nelson Eddy sings, "Is Not His Word Like a Fire?" from Mendelssohn's impressive oratorio, Elijah.
Is not his word like a fire? And like a hammer that breaketh a rock, a hammer that breaketh a rock, that breaketh a rock into pieces, like a fire, and like a hammer that breaketh a rock. His word is like a fire, and like a hammer that breaketh a rock. For God is angry, angry with the wicked every day. For God is angry with the wicked every day. And if the wicked turn not, the Lord will whet his sword, will whet his sword, and he has bent his bow, and made it ready, and made it ready, ready. Is not his word like a fire? Like a hammer that breaketh a rock, and like a hammer that breaketh a rock, is not his word like a fire, and like a hammer that breaketh a rock, that breaketh a rock, that breaketh a rock, and like a fire, like a hammer that breaketh a rock, is not his word like a hammer that breaketh a rock, is not his word like a hammer that breaketh a rock into pieces.
And so we come to the end of another Chase and Sanborn Hour, an hour that's made possible by your purchases of Chase and Sanborn coffee. That's the best way of telling us you enjoy our show. We'll all be back next week. Nelson Eddy, Edgar Bergen and Charlie McCarthy, Dorothy Lamour and Robert Armbruster and the Chase and Sanborn Orchestra. Our special guests will be John Bennett and Charles Irwin. Until next Sunday, then, this is yours sincerely, Don Amici, saying au revoir.
This is the National Broadcasting Company.